And now, coming to you nearly live from deep within a mineshaft underneath Gold Hill, Nevada in Story County, it's the Storyteller Podcast. Hey, what's up? This is your host, Sam Toll, and I'm recording to you on a beautiful, just wonderful day here in Story County on August 27th, 2018. Had the pleasure of being on with Sheriff Gerald Antonoro on his show, Sheriff Jerry and Friends, where I was accompanied by Alexia from the Canvas Cafe and Lee from the Virginia City Mercantile. Had a great conversation about the different things that the merchants are doing on C Street to further and promote themselves outside of the efforts of the VCTC, the Virginia City Tourism Commission. There is, as some of you know, there's been a little bit of a rift between many of the merchants and the VCTC based upon the notion that the VCTC does a great job of bringing people to Virginia City. And they focus primarily on the events that happen on the weekends. But there's a perception amongst the merchants that they may not be doing enough to support the merchants in general, the merchants themselves. In the commission meetings, I've heard Marshall McBride suggest that, you know, when the town is packed, you know, if the merchants can't get people into their store and have sales, well, then they're just, you know, they're not trying hard enough, or they're not doing their job, or, you know, that's just, you know, tough darts because the people are in town. But what that sentiment fails to recognize is that, you know, promoting Virginia City isn't a event weekend only thing. I remember when the San Francisco Giants were trying to convince the ticket holders, of which I was one, the season ticket holders, to invest in the new park that they were building without public funds. And one of the questions that came up over and over again was, yeah, you know, it's great on a Saturday weekend with the Dodgers, you know, the place will be full, but what about when the you know, the Miami ball club, or the you know, the San Diego Padres or the New York Mets come into town on a Tuesday afternoon? What are things going to be like then? Will the park sell out? And the same is true with Virginia City. You know, the Street Vibrations weekend is guaranteed that the town will be packed, and literally everyone should do well, along with, you know, the camel races and with other popular events. But what about on a Tuesday afternoon? What about, you know, Thursday at 4 o'clock? And I think that if you ask the merchants to a woman and man, they will suggest that the town's attendance has actually been slipping over the past couple of years. And on Tuesday afternoon, you know, things are a little sparse. And so, you know, marketing Virginia City is not just a event weekend thing. It's a year round thing. So, anyway, without any further ado, I'd like to get to the Sheriff Jerry and Friends show. But before we get there, we're going to have something new here on the Storyteller Podcast, a word from our sponsor. So, brief minute, and then we'll get to the Sheriff Jerry and Friends show. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nicole Bard, and I'm running for Story County Commissioner. I've lived on the Comstock for 11 years, and I love it here. In addition to my 30 years of corporate and small business experience, I've been involved in my community in many ways, which includes sitting on the boards of the VC Senior Center and Piper's Opera House. I've participated in the founding of the Story County National Night Out in 2010. I have supported the Wild Horses through my involvement with Lacey J. Dalton, and I've worked with the VC merchants in the past and now in order to increase room nights and in forming a strong coalition. While I've never been a commissioner, I'm not new to the issues of Story County. Over the last 6 years, I've attended and have been an active participant in over 125 Story County Commission meetings. I've also attended the VCTC Commission meetings, as well as the VNT Rail Commission meetings. I understand the job, and I'm not just promising to represent the people of Story County. I have been doing it for the past 6 years by my attendance in these meetings. I invite you to visit my website at bardcampaign.com or contact me directly, nicole@bardcampaign.com, to find out more about what I see as the issues facing us all and my plans for addressing them. Thank you.
The preceding ad was brought to you by the campaign to elect Nicole Bard Story County Commissioner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sheriff Jerry and Friends, and I am Story County Sheriff Gerald Antonoro. If you'd like to get involved with today's show, whether you're listening on 1180 AM KCKQ, a Lotus radio signal, or online at americamatters.us and clicking on the Listen Live button, you can call in toll-free at 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255, toll-free anywhere in the world. My first friend today is none other than the storyteller himself, Sam Toll. Listeners know Sam from his blog and from having been on the show with us several times. You're getting to be a regular here, Sam, so welcome. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Jerry, thanks for inviting me. Yes, I'm an irregular regular, yes.
Well, that works. We also welcome back to the show Story County resident Lee Nashel. Lee has been on the show with us before, and we're glad to have him back. Lee and his wife, Lucy, have the Virginia Hill Mercantile in Virginia City and are one of our sponsors. So welcome back, Lee.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
And joining us by telephone today is none other than Alexia Sober, one half of the owners of the Canvas Cafe in Virginia City. Alexia and her husband Richard have been active with the Merchants Group in Virginia City that we've spoken with in the past, and we're hoping to get an update from her on that front, see what's going on new. Welcome, Alexia.
Hello, Jerry. Thanks for having me back.
So before we get going too deep in today's conversation, I just wanted to touch base on a couple of things. We just recently had the rodeo in Virginia City this past weekend. Good crowds in town, but question remains, how did the town do? And seeing as how we have a couple of business representatives with us today, hopefully we're going to hear some of that during the show, because that is what we're talking about, is the merchants. Also had the pleasure this last week, or last weekend, of welcoming a number of guests to our community. On two occasions now, the National Guard has brought up visiting dignitaries from military and law enforcement partners from around the world. They bring them up to Virginia City to get a taste of the way it was, if we can use the little saying that's been pinned to Virginia City. I had the distinct honor of greeting these guests on both occasions and giving them some history of the Comstock, as well as telling them about the office of sheriff, since the elected sheriff's position is a distinct U.S. thing. Pretty informative, pretty interesting, good sharing of information. Hopefully they learned a few new things about the Comstock and about the office of sheriff, and I definitely learned a little bit more about the lands that they come from and the things they're doing to keep their interests and are safe throughout the world. So it's quite an honor having being allowed to do that with our National Guard. So we're into the first segment, which is always our shortest. Looking at the clock, we're not too long before we have to go to our first break already, but Alexia, a while back you were on, you told us about what was going on with the merchants trying to organize and work with the Tourism Commission and everything to make things better on a whole. Any updates? How's that going?
Yeah, I've got a couple of really great updates. So the merchants got together and, you know, just to kind of simplify matters, we all decided that it's better for everyone going forward to work together. So instead of, you know, causing a fight and getting all upset, we decided that we were going to come up with some solutions to problems that we see and present them to the Visitors Commission. And so far, we've had some great success. We've also learned a lot. which has allowed us as merchants and residents also to sort of put aside some of the assumptions that were part of what was, you know, creating this animosity or you know, causing us to become upset. So we've learned a lot of really interesting things about how the VCTC operates, and that's been fantastic. Erica Perry has been instrumental in that. She's the newest board member on the VCTC. The merchants have decided that we would like to get together and help support the docent program that we have in Virginia City. That is people that dress up and speak with visitors about our history, and they sort of bring the character back to Virginia City of what the, as the way it was, as you said.
Well, I know that there was I know there was a petition going around with some bullet points that the merchants wanted to see, and they wanted to present that to the commission and everything. One point on there, questionable, at least my opinion. The other, the first three, I had absolutely no heartburn with and agreed with them wholeheartedly. Is that petition still moving? Is that still something that the merchants are trying to push?
So thanks for asking. That petition has never had anything to do with the merchants group that's organized. We call the group the Story County Community Coalition. That petition has been put together and passed around by two private people. They are a couple, and they are well within their rights to do so as American citizens, and I would never detract from that. However, the merchants have decided as a group that we do not support that petition. And the last bullet point that you speak of is to remove Denny Dotson, the director of tourism, from his office. And we don't agree that a petition is the right way to do that. And in fact, we don't agree that we need to remove Denny from his office. We do want Denny and the community to work more closely together. And that's our goal as the merchants group and residents in Virginia City and hopefully Story County as a whole.
Well, and
so the petition
I'm not encouraging anyone to sign it. No, I agree with you on the bullet point, especially on that fourth bullet point, not the proper process for working on that. But with that, we are out of time in our first segment, but we're going to pick this back up. So, Alexia, if you can stay with us, we're going to get the other two jump in here and weigh in on some of this stuff. Folks, you're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. Remember, you can call in anywhere in the world toll-free at 844-790-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. And just before we went into the break, we were talking about the merchants group up in Virginia City and their work they're doing with the Tourism Commission to try and make life better for everybody collectively. I mentioned on the lead end of the show that we just had the rodeo. Now I saw tons of folks in town. Lee, you, Alexia, you guys both have businesses up there in Virginia City. How did the rodeo benefit you or not benefit you? And give us a take on what you see when all these special events happen. Do you see increases, decreases? Do you see money going out to run the programs, but not very much in the way of a return? Your take. You guys are the ones in the trenches up there.
Well, what I saw,
Lee, do you wanna start
sure, you know, I didn't see any particular increase in the merchant part of it. Talking with my wife, we had what was called a normal event weekend, or maybe slightly below, you know, because event weekends are good for the merchants, but there was nothing particularly fantastic about the sales. And the one thing is that they get transported right past the merchants right to the fairgrounds. You know, so there's no stop in between. At the end of the rodeo, there was some activity on the street, and we saw some benefit from that, but it wasn't particularly great.
Well, and you being retail sales at your store, you know, there is that, especially when they have the event down at fairgrounds. Of course, we have lots of stuff comes up that are right on C Street, right in front of the shops and everything. Just in a general sense, I mean, can you give us any kind of a gauge as to whether the events make a much of a difference in the bottom line?
Some of the events do. The ones that go down to the fairground, it's so-so. But the events that are held on C Street and closer, you know, like to Piper's or whatever you'd have, you see more of a benefit. You know, and the way the wife gauges, you can see how many people are carrying shopping bags.
I've never been able to do math by shopping bags. Alexia, you in the food service industry, how do you guys see this? I mean, you guys have a particular draw. Everybody is wanting to eat at some point in time. So regardless of where they're at in town, you know, what is it like in the food service industry?
I think I speak for my business specifically, but, you know, as restaurateurs in Virginia City, we communicate. And I think what we often see during event weekends, and those are the special events that are put on by the Virginia City Tourism Commission and the event contractor, Liquid Blue, is that there's usually a sort of down tick in business. There are a few events, Street Vibrations and the Camel Races, that bring in massive crowds. Otherwise, during those major Virginia City events, the restaurants tend to see a sort of downtick in business. And that we're usually busier if there is not an event going on, or it's just a sort of normal business day. And the reason behind that, at least in my belief, is that because when these large events come to Virginia City, they are provided with food within the event.
Well, and that's one of the
have to go outside.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've noticed just walking the streets during the events and everything, is especially some of these big ones where you have the street side vendors and everything. And I know we touched on that, I believe, last time you were on the show, that you know, some of these street vendors take away from the brick and mortar businesses. With that, I want to jump over to Sam for a minute. Sam has done some checking for us on numbers. If I'm remembering this correctly, he's got some numbers from either the county or from the Department of Taxation regarding revenues, or at least taxes collected and reported.
Correct. Yeah, Jerry, thank you. So as a kind of an investigative guy and a numbers nerd, I went to the Nevada Department of Taxation website. In fact, I've downloaded all of their monthly reports back to 2009. And it's hard to get to the bottom of the numbers based upon businesses on C Street, but I tried to do that through the reporting that they have. They have five separate distinctions of businesses that go into and report on them as they're classified. So there's clothing and clothing accessory stores, there's sporting goods, hobby book and music stores, there's general merchandise stores, miscellaneous store retailers, and food service and drinking places. And within those numbers, there's some additional challenges because throughout the years, businesses get reclassified. So specifically in the general merchandise stores, there's some anomalies in there that throw the numbers and the sales figures out wildly, but there's trends that you can spot. And basically, I went back to 2010 and then looked at the annual numbers throughout, and with the exception of the clothing and clothing accessory stores, Lee, that's one of that's where your store focuses on. There has been a fairly linear and good growth from 2010. Certainly the food service and drinking places are at about a 50% growth from 2010 to 2017. Miscellaneous store merchandisers and general merchandise stores are very close to that, right around 50%. But the clothing and the clothing accessory stores are flat. Their sales actually have dropped slightly since 2010.
Now, Sam, is just for my own clarification, is this for Story County? Is this Virginia City specific, or is this statewide numbers?
So these numbers are specifically focusing on Story County. And again, part of the issue with the numbers is that they clump the entire county together. And there's not an easy way without going to the Department of Taxation and drilling down on their numbers to find out what stores, outside of C Street specifically, these numbers represent.
Well, there's not a whole lot outside of C Street.
Right, and exactly.
We only have a couple of retail places down in the north end of the county between a couple of convenience stores. The majority of that has to be pretty much Virginia City.
And that's the assumption that I made when I was looking at these numbers. However, what's interesting is if you look at general merchandise stores, the numbers are, they start off, about 300,000, and then they jump to, nearly $63 million in 2014. And then they come back down to, 400,000. So clearly there's some a shop or a business entity that was misidentified. But the numbers are pretty straightforward. Again, food service and drinking places, yeah, there's nothing at TRI, and there's really nothing in Lockwood, nothing in Mark Twain, nothing in the Highlands. So these businesses are, primarily on C Street. So the trends are encouraging. Again, most of the businesses are enjoying a 50% growth from 2010. With the exception, of course, of Lee and the clothing and accessory stores. It's a good trend, and it's one that's very encouraging since the recession.
Well, Lee, maybe this little heads up for you. Some of the businesses I hear, they're offering, a little wine bar in the back. Well, might be a business idea there,
Think it'll loosen up their wallet.
That could happen. I've heard a couple of the big stores, I think Macy's, or at least a couple of Macy's stores were doing something like that. And I'd heard a couple of three different types of stores. I don't know if those are local or where they're at in the continent, but I've heard a few of the big chains starting to offer like wine or little coffee bars or something to, loosen up the wallets and give husband, wife, whatever, something to do while the other one's out shopping.
Give the guys a cigar bar to relax while they're in there spending their money.
Yeah, there you go. Alexia, you heard Sam's numbers. Uh-huh. We've got about a minute before we need to work our way into a break. So what do you think on that? I mean, as far as does that sound pretty consistent with what you're seeing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've definitely noticed. I've been in business in Virginia City since 2013. And so I got in right at the tail end of the recession, thank goodness. And I've definitely seen an increase in just the general level of business, number of people coming to Virginia City. So I agree with the numbers and from a feelings perspective and from the numbers of my own business. I don't disagree at all. Feels and sounds right.
And I know that you guys, when you first opened up, you were more of a morning lunch kind of place. I know you've expanded now into evening hours some. I know you're doing a lot more stuff on the weekends and everything. So we're glad to see that growth occurring and that hoping that you guys are getting a little bit of benefit out of that anyway. Probably never going to get rich.
Yeah, we were just voted... No, and we were just voted Virginia City's best restaurant by the Reno News and Review editor's pick, so that was pretty exciting, too.
Well, excellent. I'm glad that, we go there and partake every once in a while. So, but with that, we are 30 seconds out from a break, so we need to head that way. When we come back from the break, want to pick this up a little bit, might be a little bit more pointed because we're going to dial down into a few money issues a little bit. So, folks, stay with us. It's bound to get interesting. I'm sure Sam's going to have some keen insights into this. You're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. You can call in anywhere in the world, toll-free at 844-790-TALK. Welcome back to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. We've been discussing the businesses in Virginia City and the Tourism Commission and them working together, trying to make things better. Sam, we've had this conversation on a couple of occasions. We were just talking about it. Lee, I believe we were talking about it the other morning when we were at coffee. Sam, you've used a phrase a lot that I'm sure that our listeners are aware of, is the whole corporate welfare. And we know that the county gives abatements and whatnot to some of these businesses out in the industrial center. The state, with the assistance of the governor, created this entire tax district out there that give huge rebates and abatements and whatnot to a big chunk of businesses. So these are corporate titans for the most part that are benefiting of this. But what about the mom and pop shops that are going in? You know, most, I think you threw out a number the other day, Sam, that said 80-85% of business in America is the mom and pop category of business. Why isn't our county, our government, our state looking at doing more to keep those small businesses afloat rather than giving handouts to, you know, these multinationals? Would make sense to me if that's 85% of the businesses.
Yeah, the estimate from the National Federation of Independent Businesses is that 80% of the businesses that exist in the United States are 50 employees or fewer. And, you know, I have been looked Governor Sandoval in the eye three times now at three GOED meetings, Governor's Office of Economic Development. And I told him of my experience wandering around rural Nevada and seeing the devastating effects that the economy has had on towns like Lovelock and Austin and Eureka and Battle Mountain. You drive around the state and you see these businesses hanging on by their fingernails, and it's frustrating to see that, and then to drive to the industrial park, you have these multi-billion dollar companies who are global in reach, and then you look at what's happening in Las Vegas with the Raiders. And as I told the governor, the crumbs that fall off the table at Tesla and in the stadium could feed rural Nevada for years. Unfortunately, in the media, there's a saying that says if it bleeds, it leads, and that can be translated to what we're seeing with these big companies, because they're so glamorous, because there's a lot of prestige. When Tesla became the anchor tenant at the industrial park, all of a sudden, the attention was and the spotlight was on them, on us, and lots of other businesses flocked to the park. That was the incentive. That was the idea that the governor and the legislature and the folks at TRI had when they basically gave away $1.2 billion in tax credits and other abated taxes to Tesla specifically. And, I got to be honest with you, those Story County is bearing an unequal burden throughout the rest of the state. Last year alone in taxable sales revenues, Story County was abated $84 million, nearly $40 million from our schools. So, we're paying an unreasonable or an unequal price for the attraction of these companies. And as taxpayers who have to make up the difference, your office, Sheriff, you have to go to many more calls, many more accidents, many more incidents, many more break-ins, many more, drunk driving out at the park than you otherwise would because of that growth. And yet your office does not enjoy an uptick in revenue. Same with the fire department, same with the people who fix the roads. And it's the citizens of Story County who are left being burdened and having to shoulder that extra weight.
Well, before we go any further down that rabbit hole, I want to touch base with Lee and Alexia. I mean, what about it, guys? You have these businesses, small businesses. If the county said, hey, we'll give you an abatement for 3 years so you can do property improvements, is that something that would be of interest? Would that be something that is even worthwhile?
Well, sure it would, but we don't get that. As a matter of fact, what the merchants in Virginia City face on an annual basis are increases in their rents. And, you know, in our particular case, we haven't had a significant increase in the income to really offset that sometimes. So what we look forward to are things like that. We receive nothing from anyone to help out the small business, as Sam very aptly pointed out. So, you know, it's definitely, there's no trickle down. And as he also pointed out, in your department, you know, they come in, they make these really big deals with the really big corporations, and there's no funding for the increased of services that have to be rendered. I mean, it's like left out of the equation when they're handing out these rebates.
Well, and in all fairness, I mean, we have had a deal in place with Tesla for a while now where they have provided some equipment, like to the fire department. I believe they paid for a ladder truck or something out there, and I know that they're paying for a few positions with the fire department. They started out, I think, year number two that they were out there, they paid for one deputy position. Now they pay for two deputy positions. Of course, that's been kind of up in the air because that deal expired, and I don't know for certain whether that has been renegotiated or if it's actually being paid and or how it's being paid. That's not my realm, so
the
I don't
question
worry
is,
about it a whole bunch.
Yeah, the question is, did you feel the contribution from Tesla was enough for the demand placed on your department?
Well, and that's there's so many variables that go into that. And now with USA Parkway having been deeded over to the state, Highway Patrol is out there, in at least theoretically, with the presence of the troopers out there doing traffic enforcement, that's supposed to reduce some of the pressures from my deputies that are out there. But the reality of it is anytime there's a big crash on USA Parkway, the troopers respond, the deputies respond, the fire department responds with both fire apparatus and with medical apparatus, depending on, you know, how severe the crash is. And it ties up everybody for long periods of time, and that's because of the volume. And I don't know, you know, if you tried to expand that out or extrapolate that over the course of time, you know, is it paying for? Are they paying for it? Are they not paying for it? You know, I can't speak for the fire department or anybody else. You know, I think that at least my office. Sure, I could always use a few more things, but I think staffing-wise, number-wise, we're in pretty good shape there. But the focus is, and I guess this is where I really wanted to touch on, was, you know, if we can do these handouts to these folks that have and are spending gazillions of dollars to develop places down there, why aren't we doing anything to help the small businesses that are the backbone or the bread and butter of our country?
Well, I think a great program was the, what was that, the Main Street where they came in?
Mm-hmm.
They came in and they dressed up or revitalized the look of the Main Street. You know, we desperately need to have that done.
Well, and
there are federal grants that help revitalize Main Street. I think something that definitely is worthy of conversation, and there was a conversation floating around not that long ago, that Virginia City or Story County would receive some kind of stipend or something when all of these tax breaks stop, which right?
Yeah.
Why not develop an economic development district on C Street, I mean, and help entrepreneurs move in and update the old buildings that nobody can open because it costs them as much as the building, if not more, to update it to modern standards and make it openable. So now we've got vacant buildings on C Street, which depresses the business. But if we created an economic development district on C Street and made all of the buildings, you know, openable, for lack of a better word, that would also help you, Jerry, and your sheriff's department and the fire department, because then that's more taxable income for the county as a whole for a longer period of time.
Well, it's more taxable.
That would be the right way to go.
It's more taxable, and you know, there's a thing that at least I've referred to it several times as far as law enforcement goes. They talk about broken mm-hmm. windows theory. If something in the neighborhood is down, it starts dragging down that which is around it. Whereas if you go in and fix it up, mm-hmm. then that which is in the area around it is also brought up. So, you know, it's a theory that has been proven time and time again. And I'm not advocating for handouts to anybody, but hand ups.
No.
And, you know, we give a little, we give some cookies to some of our local businesses. And hey, you get a pass on your property tax this year, but in exchange, you got to restore the front of your business and make it, you know, look better. You know, there's always got to be something there. It's not just a gimme program.
Or spend money on telling the historic story about your business as well as what you're currently doing. I mean, there's a million ways to go about it. I agree with you.
And I think
that the commissioners
should go in that direction. I'd like to see more effort and work being done towards those Main Street type projects than these great big conglomerates, because you know we don't have the grocery stores, we don't have the car dealerships. A lot of that money is not being spent in Story County, so we're seeing very little of it. And like Sam said, we're carrying the burden of financing that without a whole lot of return. But with that, folks, we are already up to break time again. So we're going to have to cut out for just a moment, but we will be right back with Sheriff Jerry and friends. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are into our final segment of Sheriff Jerry and friends. And while we've been dealing mostly with businesses and the finances thereof today, I mean, this is a program that touches on just about everything over the course of time. Do have a few other things that I want to move to and touch on before we wrap this one up and put it in the history books. But Lee, Alexia, any more thoughts, any final thoughts? You know, how a hand up could be beneficial, or you know, how maybe we could go about exploring a economic development district. I mean, Virginia City in its entirety is a historical district, a historical landmark. You know, I don't know if anything can be done through, you know, SHPO or any of the state historical stuff to, you know, say you want to update the front of your store, Lee. You know, you would know better than I. Is there money available from the historical societies that would allow you to do that? I know we want to keep the historical appearance of things, but some of that stuff, especially when you have to get historical or historic matching windows, can be pretty pricey, more so than, say, me buying a new window for my house.
Well, you know, in our particular case, we're renters. You know, we rent space from the landlord. And to generate interest in the landlord to do things like that, it's not very strong right now. You know, our landlord's been around a long time. You know, he's really been a participant in the community. He's done some pretty great things. But as he told me personally himself the other day, he says, "No, I'm the fourth down." You know, I'm going to drink a wine and eat a steak every now and then. So he kind of feels like his job is done. You know, he has contributed strongly to the community. But to get people active who are the landlords is a major obstacle, and how we can get the two entities together. You know, the people who could provide funds like that, and a landlord that would be okay, that'd be cool. So,
Alexia, I know you guys have a landlord also. Same kind of a deal, or is your landlord a little more responsive?
Our landlord, and each one is different. Our landlord is incredibly responsive and supportive, and he gives us a lot of rein to sort of do what we think we need to do for our business, and we definitely appreciate him immensely for that. I do want to speak to you know, SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, or the federal government, and specifically the NPS, there are multiple grants available that individuals can apply for, also that cities and townships and historic districts can apply for. One is called a Downtown Revitalization, which is a federal grant. And all the federal grant requires is that I think it's 80% of the specific part of the community, so in our case it would be C Street, I think it's 80% of them have to commit to some kind of work. And the federal government pays for the paint and the you know, whatever it is that needs to be revitalized. And I can think of a few vacant lots in the middle of our town that would make fantastic parks for people to sit down and rest in, and to just kind of watch the world go by, that could really use some funding if the community were willing to put in the work. Those are out there. They just have to be sought after.
I think that part of it,
a renter, not an owner. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think that part of it, too, when you talk about the entire C Street as a group, requires some leadership from the county. And I know that that the county commissioners, you know, have a lot on their plates. But in talking to one of the candidates, Nicole Bard, who is running for county commissioner, she's put out and talked about this economic development idea in the past. And I think that if you have the leadership of the county, you know, marshaling the program and getting, you know, talking to all of the landlords and the building owners and the tenants and everyone together, I think that it can be a lot easier to put, rather than having, you know, Alexia, like your merchants group trying to piecemeal it together.
Well, and hopefully with the efforts of the merchants group, you know, maybe we can see more of the businesses coming together. And I know that several landlords up there own multiple properties. So maybe, you know, you get four or five of their tenants that say, hey, can you do something, or can you maybe put in for this grant and, you know, do some upgrades to the building, make it, you know, paint it, whatever. Maybe that'll help get some of that movement going.
So, Sam, do you see a kind of a disconnect with the change of command and ownership of the properties and buildings in Virginia City, you know, within the community?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. When I was growing up, it's funny, on the break we mentioned the lack of tour buses. When I was growing up, the merchants themselves ran our marketing organization. Now, I know that the VCTC was formed very recently, and it took over from a merchant-run organization. And, you know, recently, that organization was not as cohesive and didn't generate the kind of action that we would have liked, and maybe that we're seeing now. But when I was a kid growing up, you know, I washed dishes for Lin Leong, and every single weekend we had a banquet for about 200 to 300 people. Lots of times it was little old ladies from San Jose who would come up in a caravan of dozen buses, park them at the Delta parking lot, and they would be unleashed on town, and it was a madhouse, you know, and that kind of scene, I think, is missing now, and that was all done again by a collection of very dedicated, very hardworking, invested merchants. So yeah, I mean, I think,
and
yeah.
I can.
Go ahead, Alexia.
I can speak a little to that now. You know, we live with these people every day, the Angelo Petrinis, for example. He's only one. But, Sam, you're absolutely right. And a lot of the newer merchants in town are working on kind of rebuilding that relationship. Part of the coalition involves that sort of thing. But as an example, Richard and I, for the cafe, have started paying for radio advertisements for our regional people, you know, in the valleys, so that they're a little bit more aware of what's going on up here. And in doing so, we're just paying the radio station to talk about all of the businesses in town, not just our own. And I think that part of that relationship involves the merchants on C Street reaching out and working together and referring each other to each other's businesses.
Yeah,
to recreate that kind of madness.
You know, the taxpayers approved a tax increase, I believe it was 2010, to do just that. And And much of the focus of the VCTC, you know, is on the events, and it's getting, you know, that brings feet on the streets, so to speak. But it doesn't promote the individual businesses, and it doesn't speak to the specific wares that are being sold, and the focus on, you know, for example, putting a, I remember used to seeing when I was in Sacramento, billboards for Virginia City and specific businesses being advertised, and that kind of speaks to what you're talking about, Lee, where there's, you know, there's the focus on bringing people to the street generically, to C Street generically, but it doesn't do much for the individual businesses themselves.
Well, and I think that's part of the conflict, is you've got the mission of the Tourism Commission that is not necessarily aligned with that of the merchants group. So hopefully this partnership or this new movement among the merchants will help align those visions a little bit more, and we'll start seeing a little bit more working together. Like I said, a couple of things I wanted to touch on before we go, folks. We're down to about our last 2.5 minutes, so I can either talk really fast or we can start going into those other things. But just to do some of that generic getting people up onto the Comstock, coming up this weekend is the Volunteer Fire Department Spaghetti Dinner in the Highlands. This is an annual event that helps fund the volunteers. So if you'd like to help out and have a good time, it is open to the public. It is on Saturday, August 25th at the Virginia City Highlands Fire Station. Anybody wanting any more information about that should contact the fire department in Story County. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to give you all the specifics on how that works. We're also sneaking up on Labor Day. Of course, we're going to have a parade in Virginia City. Begins at noon. Anybody want to enter a float or a group or just march out there? I know we're going to have a big crowd. We'll probably have some politicians waving their banners. Contact the Visitor Center in Virginia City. Get all the information on that. With Labor Day comes the Civil War reenactments. Normally have a north-south battle on C Street immediately following the parade. They do stuff with the V&T train down in Gold Hill. Always a good time, always a lot of fun on that event. So come on up, contact folks, see how you can get involved, or just come up and spend the day with us in Virginia City. We always love to have you. Since we are now down to our last minute, got to say a few thank yous here. And the one guy who makes it all happen is our technician magician, is what we dubbed him. We always have to thank Craig because he's the one who brings all the magic together and lets you all hear it. So thank you, Craig. He's not listening in the back room either, so I can say
I'm
what
I'm sorry,
I want.
Jerry. What was that? I wasn't, but I am now.
No, we're talking bad about you. I was just thanking our technician magician, so.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I could play the cricket sound if I don't answer you a question.
That's what I expected anyway. So I want to thank our guests today for being on. You guys have been great. Hope you'll be back on the show with us again at some point, and thank you, kind listener, for all the things you could have been listening to. You chose to be here with us, and for that, we are thankful. So, until next time, be safe, and God bless.
Hey, what's up? If you've made it this far, I want to thank you. Really appreciate you supporting the Storyteller, and would just ask a quick favor from you. If you could tell a friend about the Storyteller, that would be great. We do this at no charge because we're passionate about the future of Story County. And one of the things that can help us greatly is to increase the number of eyeballs that read what we do and the number of earballs that listen to what we say. So please do tell a friend. And again, thank you for supporting the Storyteller.